The Chabura is about thinking about some financial tools and investments in terms of rivets. So first I'm going to say out some of the particulars of a lot of cases, and then we'll try to like apply the halacha to them. For most parts, for most of the things, there's going to be like theoretical discussions of the halacha. Very little is found in the Svarim, the modern Svarim, because at the end of the day, the ones that are like in the clear that are Pashut Mutter are going to be like almost no Shailas, nothing to talk about, just obviously Mutter. And the ones that are Shailas are Ribs Ksutza, Deraisa, no Heterim, unless you do real Heteris, unless you do a real way to do it. Heteriska or Galah. So most of these, they aren't very, as far as I know, not such easy, clever solutions out of, but they're great to learn, at least in the Lundus, what's behind them. Fine. So let's begin. The first thing, I just wanted to get, a lot of this is Metzius. If it's obvious, I'm sorry, I'm wasting your time. Do Chazar of Shas in your head and just go quickly. The first thing is, what makes stocks mutter, or how are you allowed to invest in a stock in the first place? Why don't we say, maybe that's like a ribbis shayla. I'm investing, maybe even call a subasar or something. I'm investing. Ramosha in the Tshuva, like one way to ask this, you could say, is Ramosha in the Tshuva and Ibn Ezer of Zion has that stocks for chametz and for Shabbos are not considered ownership. You're not a shutif with the guy. Oh, I don't need this. I have no idea. You're not an owner with the guy because you have no say. So he said, that's why you, when you come to stocks, you're not considered a shutif. And if you're not considered a shutif, there's no problem of Isuri Hana. Great. So someone might say, okay, maybe then we have to deal with the following question. If I'm not actually buying any part of the company, the minute I'm buying stocks, so maybe we should ask, it's a kinyan dosh shalom alolam. Or, yeah, exactly. Forget about kinyanim, asmachtas. Just say it's a loan. I loan the money to the company, and they're giving me back. They might give me back more, they might give me less, but suffik, it's going to be ribs. Yeah, that's the question. The other possibility is I bought into the company. This is a shutif. And I, is it against Rav Moshe? Is it because the, let's say they own chametz on Pesach? Rav Moshe says not a shutif. He's not talking about this ribbis. He didn't ask.
I'm saying, what am I buying if it's not a shutif?
So the way I don't have too many makoros. I'll tell you the makoros I do. Those who say this, the Mishnah Halachos, the Malve Hashem,
I
mishpatei ribbis.
The big star.
No, so they say you're buying a share of the company. That's fine. And Etzim, in some way, you are a shutif. But you're a minor shutif that is not able to be mocha on decisions of the company. So for Ramosha's part, Ramosha's issue, in some way, you are a shutif. I mean, Ramosha didn't have a shutif. These post-gam, and I think could be Ramosha would agree, Ramosha never says it's also to invest in stocks. The question is, no, they're giving a tight
Moshe. You took Moshe in the most literal way and say it's a shutif. I think you'd have to say it's like a halva or something.
You say it's like a halva, or you'll say it's a kinyan davar shalom.
Or you say it's a shutif, meaning like here, but you're a minor partner.
That's okay. I think that's chatting with Moshe. Moshe was only addressing the shaylos of Isurana. He says, come on, you're a nobody. So the answer is, yeah, you're a nobody with respect to Isurana. Because I can't do anything about this. It's not that I actually own a McDonald's burger. It's not that I own a box of churros on pizza. But, and they're not going to listen to me if I tell them not to. That's why I'm not a shutif in that sense that would be usur to be making mishatif with a goy or mishatif with the story. None of those are relevant to a stat. But it still is considered, you're buying something tangible in the world that's not considered a loan. And the riyas to that are just, no one's paying anybody, there's no fixed interest. It's not based on, there's no suffix. If the company goes under, they don't pay anything. The stocks are worth whatever they're worth. And the achrayas, there's no achrayas on anybody for this, other than, depends on how the company is doing. So I think the push-up shot is, A, in Lashon B'nai Adam, but also in the post-gim. The big post-gim, the Bris Yehuda, which they read, it has some of the chapter and verses at the end of the document. The big post-gim do say, it's not ribbis to lend to invest in stocks, and the Malach Hashem has like a whole piece that it's bad for Yerei Shemayim to be involved in stocks because it makes people worry, and it's bad for Yerei Emunah to be involved in stocks because he should just trust in Hashem and go to work or whatever. Now, I don't know if, I don't think the Gedolim all say it like that today. I don't know. Anyway, he lived in Bnei Brak many years ago, and this is his mahal. The point I wanted to get into is there are other ways of investing in companies. There are three basic ways of investing in a company besides, you know, buying a company that's a private company. You can have in any public traded company. Yeah, go ahead. Very much.
He's got to create a
problem. Okay, the heter of corporations we're not really getting into. Which heter? Which heter? This one. We're talking about. You're not normal. That's what I'm trying to say. I have a bunch of posting that matter buying stocks. And stocks are not rich. That's what the posting that I saw said. Nobody actually asked the kasha. Nobody actually said, this is against her motion. No one said that. No one even asked the same one. I'm asking it. And I think they're not actually incompatible. That's all I'm trying to say.
If you were a shit-tip, then you don't shy at all. If you really...
If you're
if you said
to,
that it's usher to own McDonald's,
yeah, that's
it's
okay.
Usher to own Cheerios on Pesach, and yeah. It would be obvious that when you buy a stock,
no,
there's
no owner. Actually, it is usher to own Pesach. So if you assume them, then that's fine.
Who's lending with interest? The companies?
Yes. Oh, so that's...
But that's what the Shia Eich was talking about. I was just saying you bought a stock for 20, and now we're at 21. Are they paying you a dividend?
If I'm a shut of a bank or a credit card company or something else that's not lending service, for Moshe that would be the same sort of question of I'm owning something that's or another working on Shabbos and they're owning hundreds of business.
I'm testing Shalom and
Shuto. Yeah. Isn't this Shalom or Shuto? I'm really a shut
of. Yeah,
so that helps you back from me. So Moshe's saying you're not Moshe taking me down from a shut. He's saying I own a stock of McDonald's, I own an S&P, I own a stock of McDonald's, I don't own anything of McDonald's. Even though that's... I think so, yeah. No, it's not my money now. It's the same... If they were using my money for Isser, they were making money on Yain Nesach and Bas Rochal. That should be Isser just as well. It's my money. I think a lot of this is going to come down to a clarity of Metzius of what each thing is. I think the Lashon B'nei Adam that's called is definitely, in terms of Ribbis, if someone asked me, is it Ribbis to buy a stock? I would think, I haven't seen any post that say that it is, and my understanding is that that's not Ribbis at all, because you're mamish buying something. Now, does that contradict the Moshe's tshuva on the other areas? That if the company's not going to be malvah beribis or Israel Anar Shabbos violate Shabbos, I don't know. If someone said you should then be machmer on those shilas, maybe. I could hear. I could still think it's not incompatible and say makel in hilchos ribis to buy a stock and still say it's not going to cause an issue. Okay. Is it a very nuanced way to explain it? Yes. I think I have to spend a lot of time in that tshuva. Over there, it's a very short, actually. It's like one paragraph, but that's what I'm assuming. Okay. Three ways you can invest in companies, the public companies. They have stocks, preferred stock, regular common stock, and bonds. So bonds are any company, if they want, could just open up a bond to you for a fixed interest, just like the government.
Well, we're being made on stocks means even if it was a Jewishly run company.
Yeah, and they're open on chat.
Say again. Even if the CEO and all the strong partners are...
What I'm going to talk about is Goldman Sachs. Let's say they have a CEO that's Jewish, not from. They own 30% and lots of other Jews. Let's say it's Goldman Sachs.
Even invested in them with stock.
Yeah, meaning what are the shadows? The shadows are, A, is it ribbons between you and
them?
We're
not being make-up because it's...
They're going. No, we're not being make-up. No. Sorry. Even if we're all Jews. Even if you made up a company of all Jews, you could still mess them, it's not a rigged. Yeah. So I didn't clarify that. The Milvah Hashem was talking about even with Jewish companies. Purely Jewish companies, still, this heter applies because you're buying something. To me, that's the pashas. Okay. Bonds, companies can make bonds. They give out money, people give them money, and they give back money after 10 years, whatever, give back some interest. That's Ribbis deraisa, they guarantee it to you. And in terms of if the company goes under, in terms of preferred treatment. They actually get first, then preferred stock, and then common stock. So when I buy a normal stock on the market, that's normal common stock. I'm the last guy that gets money from them. But bonds are ribbis. Yeah, bonds are going to be ribbis. If it's going to be a goyish company, all the same things that are relevant to corporations and goyim, but I'm not getting into that. But if it would be a Jewish company. No, just as a fact. No, doesn't hurt you at all. I mentioned it. Whatever, just tax.
Are you mocking about bonds?
Bonds not being ribbis? What do you mean?
Not buy bonds?
Bonds to a Jewish company.
Jewish
to a goyish company? I don't think we're mocking it. I think we assume that the corporate. The bonds to the American government or whatever, the Treasury notes and stuff like that, or bonds that are put up by. I have one from American Express. You can get from random companies bonds, like a lot of companies do. They give you random interest rates. You could. I don't think we're math around that. I think if you assume they're going, then they're going. Okay, you have to go to Dubinskaber. Are you making or machmer on Dubinskaber?
Everyone make
it. I didn't know. You have to go to Dubinskaber. You have to say, are we machmer on?
What do you mean? Everyone puts money in a bank. It's the same. Yeah.
Okay, I don't have a good answer. If I can't, I'm assuming the minig is lock. No, but yeah. Yeah, those are more complicated. I didn't look into. I think they do. It's relying on Hatariska. In terms of once it's set up, the collection goes through the Bank of New York Mellon, whatever it goes through Goyim. Part of the money does go to the Jews, but the collection in and of itself is really from Goyim. Whether or not you collect it has nothing to do with the Jews. They don't make or lose any money. So,
the state of Israel gives all the money to like a collecting agency. They're in charge of just paying you back.
They already got some money out of it, and they're done.
Yeah. I could check their, like, if you want to be macro and don't take your interest on your bonds.
And don't invest. Don't
you didn't, I mean, you didn't do a chesed to the Israeli government. Yeah. You did a chesed to this company.
They don't want to. They
so
don't,
they don't have to do the whole.
They don't have to deal with the collection. They don't have to deal with paying people back. They just take money for free. They say.
Well, take
2%. 2% good.
There's a lot of people that don't redeem their bonds.
Yes.
It took me a long time to redeem some of my
old bonds. The bank wins. The bank figures out where their actuary says how much it's worth to them. They pay Israel a certain amount.
I asked Rav Schechter whether I should cash my state of Israel bonds. He said, yeah, you should cash them.
I thought he didn't.
My grandmother bought me a state of Israel bond like every year, like $100 or whatever it was. So like a lot of them are ready to be cashed.
Right.
So like I asked Shifter, like, should I cash them or should I like be machmir, just like ignore these letters? And so he said like you should cash them. I said like is it like would you be machmir to you should cash them? That's what you should. And, like,
okay, good.
Okay,
what about should I invest
maturity?
Next time?
I didn't ask him that. Like, I
thought
in
Shir once he mentioned that that wasn't so positive.
Why do I want to get involved?
Yeah, because it's like, relying on it. It's relying. Yeah, it's relying on Heteriska to do. Yeah.
If you redeem it before the maturity date, you get some
interest in it.
It depends on.
Yeah, they
so
could.
They
don't. The Israeli ones don't keep it through. They stack it after it's done. They keep it in their banks.
I mean,
it's
like, they
don't
roll it
over. Yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, he just got it right now.
Good question for Rashad. I don't know. Meaning,
I don't know. What's the difference between a little ribbis and a lot of ribbis? Is every percent answer? Like, did you avoid anything by?
Yes, sir. I don't know.
Is that ribbis or ribbis?
If you really think it's ribbis, then you can't collect it. And if you think there's what to make on, it's the same kula.
Yeah, I hear. That's the same.
That's
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah. Fine.
You can redeem it, or at least. Yeah.
Fine. Okay. The next page is bonds. For my purposes, bonds are Riz Katsutsa. The company decided they're going to give you a bond. Most companies have very little of them. What I read was like it's 3% or less. Most companies of their revenue, it's very small. But they actually do bonds. Most companies don't do that. Even the IPOs, they do stock. Preferred stock versus common stocks on the next page. It's they get dividends. They could be sold. Okay, whatever, like amount that it was. Okay, they could be sold at some value that's like printed on the stock. They do fluctuate. What was the main difference? I totally forgot about this.
There's less upside over here.
Basically the preferred stock. The difference is
they guarantee you the dividends. Is that what happens?
The dividends are you're definitely getting dividends. The increase in the since they're not bought and sold, they don't actually reflect the regular price of stock, so they don't go up the same amount. You're not going to get if you sell them, you can't get the price of what if I bought a normal stock, a common stock of Google, so then I bought it this amount, it goes up, I sell it that amount, that it goes up. But the first stock, you can't do that. You can't sell them and get the you can't if you sell it, you get the same amount that you paid for. You get a lot of dividends. So so preferred stock. Is that going to? So the reason why would anybody do this? People would do it because it fluctuates very little. You want a lot of dividends, and you don't want a lot of risk. You have to pay taxes on the dividends. Great, fine. So there's very dividends. Every company could or could not give dividends. Lots of companies give dividends.
They made a million dollars this year, so they could either, like Amazon makes $1 billion every year, they may reinvest it in their company and buy more warehouses.
Yeah.
Or they could say, like, we made $1 billion. What do we do with this? It's not ours. It belongs to all these stockholders.
Like only the preferred stockholders?
Everybody. Regular companies. I own, let's say I have, I think Google doesn't do it either. But let's say you have Microsoft. I'm pretty sure Microsoft does. Apple does. Yeah, they decide they're giving out 2%. They declare for every year, the next four times, usually they do it quarterly, but some companies will do it more every month, but they want to give dividends every amount of time. They'll say, we're going to give, of the value of the stock, a quarter of a percent, so this way it adds up to 1% the whole year, or we'll give out 2% the whole year. There are stocks anywhere that range between giving out dividends of 1% to the highest dividend ones give out 13% a year. Now, those stocks, the ones that give out 13% a year, sometimes the ones that are very risky and crash and whatever. But you can get they promise to give it, and it's dependent on the price of the stock 3 days before they actually give it. There's like the date that you need to own it in order for them to give it to you. They only pay it out 3 weeks later. But in their banks, they're mechuyev from the stock market to have in their banks the amount 3 days before it's supposed to be paid out. The amount in their banks to be able to pay out the dividends according to the percent that they promised. And that's what evaluated that.
Are
the same. For if you're a preferred or you're a common stock,
you advantage of preferred.
The advantage of preferred is if it goes broke, you get paid. You get paid and the common stock guys don't get paid.
You get paid first.
You get paid first.
What's the dividend? I thought the first stock is promising that they're going to give a certain amount of dividends every quarter, every year. And the common stock, they're not guaranteed they're going to give dividends.
The common stock also has...
Sometimes they'll give, sometimes they won't.
No,
they always give dividends.
If it's a company, they could take it back. They could, from year to year or quarter to quarter, they could say they could make a declaration, we're stopping to give dividends. But then once they promise it, they have to keep it.
Every year they decide. But your preferred stock has to give you dividends.
Fine,
because you're not getting your stock isn't getting worth more. I've been spending $25. My paper's going to see $25 forever now. So
fine.
They have to give me the dividends. I thought that was, and I don't think every company sells.
No, it's very. That's true. It's very rare. It's not so common. Every stock, not every thing has it, and it's a small percentage of people do this. Okay. All right. Based on that.
But that's more like Ribis.
It's much more like Ribis. Now, is it going to still be mutter? Because there is some variation, and it could the company could crumble and could become zero. I don't know. My intuition was it still is much more like you're buying some part of the company. Unless Mamish not like exactly like a bond. I haven't read a bond in a stock. I don't actually have a stock on that from anybody. I haven't found it any safer. But my intuition was it's still going to be mutter, but I don't know. Still going to be like a regular stock.
With a bond, if the company loses value, they still have to pay out their bond. Yes. Yeah. Only thing, well, bankrupt account technology. Yeah. And the company loses value. Do they pay out their dividends or the preferred?
Yes, yes, they pay out according to the percentage that's worth. Dividends reflect how much they're worth.
I'm saying, but if their value goes down,
they pay dividends. They still will pay dividends.
But not,
pay
off all, the 25 not off the 25.
Right. Yeah, when I have a $1,000 stock, and they tell me it's going to be a dividend of 1% this year, so then the 1% is going to be $10. And if it comes out that the stock went down to $700 because they're still paying me, no, not $10, they're paying me now $7. They're paying me according to whatever the stock is worth at the time. So that's why I thought it's not ribis gomer, because the dividends definitely reflect the percentage of how much they're making or how much they're losing. And it could become more than nothing. And that was the... It's tied to linkage
they
to
buy
the...
that piece of paper back to you?
Yeah, you could sell it to other people.
Will they buy it back from you or
no? Unless they have a... Yeah, the CEO might, but I don't... Most people, they're not going to buy it back. But when they went IPO, they do that to make money. They don't do it as a shtick. They do it because they want people to give them money.
Okay, they want to help other, or they want...
No, they don't think it as a halva. I think they think it as an investment.
Can they sell as much preferred stock as they want?
Yeah, I don't think there's not.
You can't sell as much. I guess you can.
Here, there's no limit on how many can be issued of the preferred stock.
So that's kind of like a bond. Like,
no, but they get money from it. The same thing with investment. Same thing with the stock. They can make as many as they want. When they set up the lawyers to set up an IPO, there are people that like figure out what's best for the company so it's not going to crash.
If they sell more stock, then everyone's stock is worth a little less.
Yeah.
Preferred stock
is worth
$25. The same. And I'll say that. And then, if they can just do unlimited of those, then they're all us.
But the same thing with stock. I think it will increase. It's not going to increase the common stocks because I'm not competing with them. It's not in the same marketplace, but I think if they sell it, I don't think that's bad or good for them because they're borrowing money. I don't think that, just because they borrowed money from someone, I don't think it makes it bad. It may make them better. I don't think that makes my stock have to become worth less. I don't think that's a riot. There are more owners. Good. We'll have to investigate more into that. Okay, fine. I should have investigated more. Good question. We'll keep it at the end. All right, so should someone buy preferred stock with Shaila? We've ordered Shaila here. So not so many answers. Manatee was okay, we have to nine, and that's true. All right. Fine. I think the basic stocks are on page 3, simple. Common shareholder major right, main rights. This was like really just to iron out the page 3 stuff. The main rights was just to iron out the obvious points that... And you are, leave out remotion, whether you hold a remotion or not on Isur Hana. I think it's Dover Pasha. It's very hard to argue that it's going to be ribbous to give companies stock, to buy stocks in companies. You have voting powers. Every stock owner has a voting power to decide who's going to be the president, who's not. The voting power, you might not, your voting power is still limited. It is usually voting for board members and kicking someone off a board, but there is such a thing as voting for every share member. The other thing is your ownership, okay, part of the company. You can transfer to somebody else. You're entitled to dividends. You can inspect some records. You can sue them for wrong flags. Okay, all those rights, to me, were Delver Pasha. That makes you much more like an investor. Good. So, Adkan, we said investing in a stock is Mutter no Shaila, and bonds are definitely also your preferred stock somewhere in the middle. Okay. Next, what about short selling? Okay, what happened in short sale? This is page 5, I think. This little arrow thing. I borrow from, the person short, he's borrowing 10 shares of ABC stock. Okay, the guy in the middle is the short seller. So he's borrowing 10 stock from the broker. Okay?
At what value?
And let's say it's worth $1,000 today. Okay? $1,000 a share, he borrows 10. So right now, he put down no money. Okay, let's say Scott is my broker. I go to Scott and say, can I borrow 10 shares, $1,000 a piece? So he gives me 10 shares of Google or ABC company. And then immediately what I do with that, what everybody does with this when they do short selling is they take it and they sell it. They say, I think it's at the highest point it's going to be for a while now. It's going to go downhill, I think. and I sell it. I make $10,000. I make $10,000. I have $10,000 in my pocket. Good. Then I.
Then it goes down. You buy it back for $5,000.
Now it goes down. Good. That's step one. That's step two. Step three is it goes down. Let's say it goes down. That's successful. That's what you're hoping. Step four is now I buy 10 shares from the market. I buy some other $10. Now this time it's not $1,000 each one. Now it's 500. It went down a lot. Now it's 500. So for $5,000, I get 10 shares from the market. Good. Then I go back to Scott and say, here's 10 shares. Okay? And now I keep the prep. Good. Other facts that are happening at the same time are...
Why did you let you borrow 10?
When I borrow 10, immediately, it was like, broke. Why? Really, what it used to be... What
him, because he wasn't playing, as long as he wasn't playing to sell this thing.
Well, usually, okay, so he could make money as well. It could go up in price and he's going to make.
Dividends.
So it was like, a lot of things happen when you do a short sale. First of all, by the way, this broker doesn't actually have to be, he's doing it with himself. A lot of times, big brokers with big computers arrange it so that somebody else who is has a margin account, who has an account that allows for this, will, unbeknownst to them, without their permission, without knowing, will have their shares borrowed from them and returned to them. If you have a margin account, one of the terms and conditions on there is the broker... Ameritrade and Scott Trade and I don't know, I don't really know a lot of places. Big place. You could, if you have a margin account with them, if you have stocks in your, if you have a margin account with them, now most people don't. Not everybody has a margin. You have to have credits or you have to have experience to get it. No, you could have it, but a stom guy just goes into investing doesn't have a margin account. But if you have a margin account, then it doesn't really affect you. And then they'll tell you they could borrow your stocks without you know. Great. It hardly makes any difference.
What? It's with your permission.
Yeah, with your permission. Good. It makes no difference to you.
You don't have to notify.
It makes no difference because you're going to get back the exact same thing. And even if you sell it, you're allowed to sell in between, even though you didn't know that they just borrowed from you. And they sell it. The minute you press to sell it, they go and find somebody else to swap for you. They have 500 million in their bank account. And also, brokers, just to make sure, to take care of this, they also have, a clearinghouse. They have their own shares to make sure that nothing gets lost. They'll be able to cover everything. They own, of the most common stocks, a bunch of their own stocks. So most things are taken care of by somebody. Anyway, so that's
the
basics.
Is it going to be more confusing or less confusing to try to, simplify it? I lend you a stock.
Only one
stock. You're gonna do your whole short. You know your business stuff. I'm just lending you my stock. You're going to pay me back in a month. But I charge you for that too, no?
Yes. Good. One thing that's in it, one thing that's very in it for the broker is that he's getting paid to do this. And if
irrelevant whether the stock goes up or down, right?
He gets paid for two things. First of all,
I'm saying the short seller might lose out on this deal. That's
for sure. First of all, if the stock goes up.
Yeah.
And most stocks over most of the history, most of the time, most of the last 80 years, stocks overall do go up because A, inflation, but because of other, and many other reasons. So on average, the S&P, you can watch, goes up 15% in the last 30 years, whatever it is, or high, it doesn't matter. So you're risking it. If it goes up and it continues to go up, then you miss the boat. Because then I have to buy a more expensive share, and I get double whammy.
Yeah, but either way, the broker gets his...
So what the commission fee, I'm not talking about. The $10, the seller, whatever that is, it's free. I'm not talking about that. Because that's not ribbish, it's a pay fee. The ribbish things are, you have to pay...
Oh, no, that is a ribbish.
Paying a commission fee.
Paying a fee no matter what, the stock is the same price, and I just pay it.
When I buy things, I also pay, I don't pay any anymore. But you just pay a commission to do a tircha, for them, no more of their tircha, but for their computer just to have another line of the records. Why is that?
I want to borrow a saw of wheat from you, and you'll say, okay, fine, but for my time and effort, you have to pay me $1 to borrow that saw. Pay me back as
maybe I need to go get it from my warehouse.
Yeah, maybe that. I'm paying them for tircha. I'm not paying them for the loan.
So you just matter. We can matter all ribbons with that cool analogy. We'll just say everything's for the tircha.
We have that ritva on Memvav that matter for a tircha. that I take pay my word. Okay. I think it's not even for tirfa of the loan. This is tirfa of the sale. The two different things.
There's no sale here. I'm borrowing the stuff from you.
I don't think I pay. I don't know. I haven't done this. I've never actually done a short sale. If I borrow it, if I borrow your stock, first of all, the people with the margin accounts pay no commissions. They're the better.
And the broker's not even. He's not your malve. He's usually someone else.
He's
your
generally. Malve. He's generally just a Cirrus. Yeah, Cirrus. I'm just Cirrus. He's just a. What's the thing here? Sarsur, thank you. Sarsur. He's an in-between guy. Yeah, my mistake. So anyway, what's the commission? Okay. All right, Shiloh. The bigger Shiloh definitely is dividends. Other things that you're going to pay. So one thing is, if I make money on... The short seller...
In the interim, he's going to get the dividends now. He's holding the stock.
Yeah.
He's selling it the next day.
My stock was bought. Yeah, he's selling it right away. Next year, I don't know wherever it is, but they're going to give me back my stock in a year. In the interim, it's going to get dividends. Yeah. They're not going to look at me.
Well, you're assuming there are dividends.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Fine. Is that an issue? That's an issue for who? So, for you, the owner of the stock.
Well, I think because of that, I charge for...
Yeah, so let's just say that there's at least two other issues. The commission might be one. I didn't think about it, but yesh la'ayin on the commission, and for some people you can get out of commissions. There's not going to be any commissions because they're a big investor. But two other bigger problems. One of them I didn't even put on the page is there is an interest that you pay the broker for just borrowing the stocks. You pay him interest, a fixed interest rate, whatever they charge. If it's 3% for their company, it's 3% on the $10,000. Now, it's not exactly $10,000. It's according to the amount. It doesn't matter how much I made on the sale. It really depends on how much the stocks were worth when I borrowed them. But I pay interest on that as though there was cash because they're not going to let me borrow money for no free either.
Right.
So good. So,
you, the short seller.
I'm the short seller. I have to pay interest on $10,000. When I turn this... I've also paid 3% per year. Now, it could be I still will make money on this because it went down to $5,500, so I paid him $5,000 back, and I kept $5,000 in my pocket. Yeah, I had a $10,000 loan, but if I kept it for a year, but it could be I kept it for a month. I paid him nothing.
Yeah.
I paid him 0.5%, so I made a lot of money. In terms of risk, short selling is many times more risky than Stam just buying a stock. But... that's the second thing. That's not on the page. The third one is dividends. There's another thing. When you borrow from the broker stocks...
That's Ritter's Gummer.
I'm not really going to... I'm really just going to... I want to discuss one part of it, the storytelling that's interesting. The dividends is that when you borrow it, and now you have... whether you own them or you don't, even if you sold them, you're not going to collect the dividends, but... if you had them, you would be collecting dividends. So I had the 10 shares of Google for a year. Let's say Google gave me a 5% dividend. Okay? So I had it for a year. So now, the fact that I borrowed from Scott a year ago, and I collected the dividends on his behalf, it's not fair to Scott, so I better pay him back. I'm going to pay him back the price of the dividends. And just because I sold it, Scott shouldn't lose either, so I have to pay him for all the dividends that I collected, or that I should have collected, even if I don't collect it, even if I sold it. Okay? So I pay him for every dividend that the company gives out, back to the broker. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. So now, the basic... okay. So now let me ask... okay, the first question first. What about just Stam short selling? You can read about short selling. I have a lot of things here, basically.
It sounds like the broker really is the model.
Okay. First of all, the person who makes and loses... oh, that is one of the things. Who makes money on a... who benefits on loaning shares in a short sale? The answer... yeah, but
short seller.
Basically, it's the broker. Maybe. The broker... the buyer, the short seller may make money, may lose money. But the other person who may or may lose is the broker. It's not the other random guy.
Yeah, the random guy who has his money in the
broker guarantees him.
Yeah. And he's only allowed to do a small amount of his thing so that they can have the money to pay him.
Yeah, yeah. Correct. So that's the second paragraph in that thing. The broker is the party doing the lending and not the individual investor.
That's the broker.
All the things I'm giving to the my malva is the broker. It's Scott. It's not the third party. Scott did another halva. There was another halva that... Scott did another thing. The achrayah is on you to give me the stocks, and my achrayah is back to you, and not to this third party. The third party is going to get taken care of. It just to clear the books, Scott needs to talk to some other third party just to make sure everything looks nice on paper.
But the loss, the broker only loses if the short seller doesn't pay him back, right? Being if, if the stock goes down $500, the third party is the one who lost out. Because the same way it would have lost money if it was sitting in his portfolio.
Say again? I'm sorry. If, that other guy, yeah, that other guy's going to lose.
Third party is the guy who lost the
He's going to lose $5,000. But he was going to...
It's probably called scat trading.
That other guy is going to lose anyway. Has no relevance.
Great.
The reason brokers do this is because... Because they make money on it.
The same way the bank lends the money that I put in the bank.
Yeah, they have some actuary. They figured out this would basically be worth it for them. Sometimes they will make money, sometimes they won't. As well as also they hedge their bets by making other options that cover basically anything that they want. Anytime they're at risk, they can cover by buying some option or selling some option that covers some short sell. They can cover their risk by buying other things. Okay, just about. The halachas of thinking about short selling. If you would avoid any if you would avoid paying the pure interest and or paying the dividends, if we just think isolate the Shailin theory, the Savasai issue, so is that called Savasai or should we call that ribbis? I borrowed a stock from Scott Trade and I'm going to pay him back another stock. Do we say it's like I borrowed $1,000 and I paid him back 500? Or we look at that as I borrowed a stock and I paid him back a stock? Okay?
Like
now 500 is not ribbis. Going up to 1500. If I did really badly and I realize it's getting terrible, it is going really bad. It keeps going up. I may as well call it a loss and pay back 1500. Yeah. So is that going to be ribbis, or is that going to be something ribbis? Like, all right. So the punch up chat is from everything I said to begin with that stocks are you're buying something.
It's a real
so this is, you're buying a real thing. And the rights a stock owner has, I think it's Pasha, it's Mahir. Good, so let's talk. So that's Dirabani. Sabasal is definitely Dirabani. I'm borrowing. Sorry. So I mean, this is it's a commodity. We look at this as a commodity. We don't look at this as just money for money. This is in the world of Sabasal. I can have tier of Sabasal. I can use that here as well.
He's meant based on the way we establish ownership of stock, but that means you're a buyer.
What are the
tier of Sabasal that would be Shabbos? Okay, so the one thing I'll use Shilchan there is Kuf There, you have two hetirim. Okay, Yeshlo and Yasa Shai. Very good.
It's really not because it's so dumb.
The price goes up for every single stock in the world, even the ones that have very little volume. Every single day, it changes.
No,
yes. Lachora is not Yasa Shai. It changes.
If the short seller owns another one of this stock,
Aaron Levine wrote a good article about it. He basically said it is Sabasal Shail. I read one article online. He thought this is Ribbis Ketutza Shailas because there's no stocks don't represent buying anything. It's not a commodity. I think it's more likely like Rav Aaron Levine. I assume this is Mechira, right? You can see them, of course. I have my thing. I'll send you them after.
Is that Sheet of Shira? Like,
yeah, it shouldn't be a lot of buy stocks. Yeah. Yeah.
So
I don't understand that cheat. Yeah, I found somebody. Yeah. Well, myself, I think like Rav Aaron Levine and the other Sram I saw on short sell. Hey, but Lemaisa, yeah. But once you get to dividends, once you get to commissions, and once you get to the actual interest, practically, you can't actually do short selling with a Jewish broker. If you had Goldman Sachs as your, or if you have a Jewish investment company that does hedge funding or whatever, you need a hedge risk. You can't actually do this without any hedge risk because a lot of these transactions.
You're not short selling. They're using your money. This is short selling.
Yeah, there's a lot of. No, because maybe that's not crisis upon them. I don't know if that's.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. That's all that.
There's. But okay, so just isolating the sub-assault.
Wait, that's a good question. I invested.
It's a separate problem, right? It's halveni almanach alvecha. That a lot of times to be involved in this margin account, I've just agreed to lend them things, and I'm getting the right to borrow from them. I'll lend them my shares. So that's another shot.
You're investing in Scott Trade, so you give me $1 million. Yeah, Scott. You give me $1 million. I'm gonna buy wheat stock, whatever stock, Apple stock for you. And on the fine print, it says, I'm allowed to lend them away. I'm allowed to lend them to people.
Yeah, but that's mine. You were just a schlich of me to do that, to buy the commodity stock.
But now you own that stock.
I own the stock.
I'm going to lend it to somebody?
Yeah, you can lend it to people. You have your permission.
So who did Sabasa then?
You did with me, Sabasa.
All you did was give me... No, I thought you want the broker to be with...
The broker...
He's the short seller. He's the one who borrowed.
So you borrowed from me the stocks.
So now you can't invest in Sconcher. You just came out. So
yeah.
Not that you can't do short selling. You just can't invest in a stock. I don't know what these things are called. You can't invest in a fund that is allowed to borrow your stocks. That is allowed to...
Unless it's going.
Unless it's going, yeah.
Yeah. Or
Goldman Sachs.
Yeah. Ray Reese said about he said he spoke to a Macher in Goldman Sachs. He said they absolutely need a Heter Mechir Kali for many, many people that are Jewish that invest with them because they're a Jewish company. And he said they didn't do anything about it. They didn't want to do it. So Mechir, he said, having almost any investment counts with them, or you have to be shy. If there are anything, any more interesting financial tools other than just stomp stocks, almost all of them are very pushy. I don't know. You have to ask Shaila. My impression was you can't, unless you have Heter Iskah with them.
I don't know what Goldman does. Why you can have an account that just
savings?
That's just a savings account. Great.
No, that's bad.
Oh, savings account is bad.
That's
insane.
Yeah,
you can have an index fund, mutual fund. I don't know, something that you're investing in stocks.
Yeah, you can invest in Pashut stocks. Now, the common mention that Goldman just has as a side, they don't have individual people that invest. There are like millionaires that use them as a hedge fund investors. People that they have people that sit in Goldman that invest them for them, or their computers figure out algorithms to invest for them. They're not like, I'm investing myself, and I go to a broker and tell the computer to buy or sell. Goldman doesn't take phone calls and pushes them a button for a random person to buy or sell. But bottom line, still, a lot of the transactions they're doing as a shliach for me are going to still involve risks. I don't think it's going to solve. So I don't think even you can just say.
Yeah.
Just these parts. Well, no, not every part of this is Darabana. So the short selling. Yeah, but then other parts are going to be Daraisa. Okay. The Pasha thing when you have a margin account that you do with the margin is you buy stocks on margin. Buying stocks on margin.
They don't go to me. I invested in Scottrade.
Yeah.
He owns all these stocks. I lend them to you because you want a short sell. You're paying fees. You're not paying them to Ike. What did Ike do wrong? Just sub this up. Oh, you don't need to
sub this up. And Halveni Almanai Shalavach. Those are issues. Minei Obey. Yeah.
If he defaults.
He defaults. No, you're gonna have to owe it to me.
So I'm the mountain.
Yeah. It's just because what happens, you can read it off online, there are a lot of scandals of all the times that brokers didn't cover themselves. They call it a naked short sell. There is such a thing that it's illegal, but it did exist. People used to do it, and people probably still do it. That they make a short sell, they tell someone they're selling their stocks, and they don't sell anything to them. There's no piece of paper. They digitally sold them in the air. And then... They made a lot of money.
Anyway.
They made a lot of money. Now later, it's going to work out. Why do they can cover up on it? How can they cover up on it? Because later they will get a real stock. They will buy it, and it'll be much cheaper. And then they're giving back to what the person that they pretended that they got, the person that they said they sold it to. Now they need to cover themselves twice, but they'll buy double the amount at the end and cover all the people that they sold the stocks to and the people that they borrowed from. Anyway. It's illegal, and it's bad. It's a shaila if it's good or bad for the economy because it gives false impression of having a lot more stock. Whatever. There's famous cases you can read about it. That Ray Aaron Levine's article was saying it's Pasha Usher. Besides illegal, it's Pasha Usher because it's going to have a disaster. You're fooling lots of people by doing it. You call it gezel probably, but it's also the guy you're selling it to. You're not really selling him anything. And he's giving you money as a loan, which he's not giving it as a loan. He didn't mean to give it as a loan. He gave it to you because he thought he gave him a piece of paper. He gave him air. He gave him a piece of paper much later. So probably it's gezel. He has a different chiddush where it's also relevant. It's osas charaso bepartal shechaver. Besides, it's worse than gezel. If it was just gezel, you should pay it back karen. He says you have to pay him the entire, for doing this, you have to pay him all the money you made on it. Because I used his money to do business. if I steal someone's house and I make it into a business, so it's not just if I do a shinoi, then I just pay Cain Shigazel, but if I actually made money on his own sura, I pay him whatever, it's his own gazel. Yeah, back to our topics.
Let's see, Ariel wants to short sell something. Yeah. He borrows a stock from, I don't know, Vanguard, like a non-Jewish company.
Yeah.
Whose stock did he borrow?
Yeah, if it's a Jew, so good.
We don't know whose stock he
borrowed. So then that gets into the kavuah. I was thinking that
it could be anybody's.
And
maybe it's yours.
It could be mine. That in a hanami. But there's only two answers I have. One is, firstly, you're alive and Rove people invest in my broker is Argoyim. Rove people are investing with my broker Argoyim. And you don't say it's kavuah. Why it's not kavuah, called kavuah, I have no idea. Ayin Sham, but we'll assume it's called a parish. So you go by Rove. And or you could say, like, yeah, since the shliach has taken out chrayis, so then it's not really between me and him, it's really between me and the broker. Everything's going with the broker. As long as the broker's a good.
Because otherwise, I'm going to say, well, maybe, it's not just happening once, it's probably happening a lot of times. A lot of your stocks, it's like...
And it keeps switching, because
your robe
people...
breaks over time. Your robe is just probability, we all know that.
Fine, yeah. So. Okay. But I don't know if that's our chef. That's the milkshake. Okay. Fine. So what are the Heterim on Sabasa? We said it's Yeshlo. So Yeshlo, where Aaron Levine just points out something that they used to be Mutter in 1992, they made illegal. It's selling short outside the box, they call it, but it's for tax purposes. As a guy owns stock and then short sells stock in order to not pay taxes this year to go pay taxes later. So Yeshlo, the Heterim I'm trying to say is, could you have a Yeshlo by selling short? The answer is, in theory, yes. In practice, no, because it's illegal to own stock and short sell that same stock. The reason they made that rule 1992 years ago is because people do that to delay paying taxes. That I've made money on stocks I own. I made a lot of money, so I don't want to pay stock. I don't want to pay taxes this year. I want to pay many years later after I retire. My bracket's going down. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to short sell a lot of stocks now of the same exact company, and I'm not going to have to buy new ones from the market when I want to actually make cash out. I'll take the ones I already have. I have 10 good pieces of paper that are Tegu all over them in my account. And I want to sell them. But if I sell them, I have to make money and then I'm going to pay cash. I don't want to do that. So I want to tell Scott I'm going to do short selling. I'll borrow some of yours. I'll sell them immediately. And I'll pay back some stocks later. When later? Whenever I feel like I pay later. Now, is it good because of all the dividends and the interest? Maybe good or bad, but if you just do it from December 31st to January 1st, or whatever it is, the guy is a shtick for taxes. But Maisa, it's not allowed, and therefore, for our purposes, also it's not allowed, since it's not going to be issued. Yeah.
So it's impossible.
Yeah, practically.
It's just illegal.
It's illegal.
Whatever, yeah.
It's really easy to have. You just buy. Nobody knows what's
impossible by legal.
Yeah, fine.
But illegal is closer to.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing was Yetzer Hashar.
I don't know. That's Masha cuts it. You should cut up
by. Yeah. So would that work? And legally, can your spouse own it? Is Yesh though?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. The broker is probably, like, the government knows about family members.
I'm saying the government might not care.
Yeah, I don't think, correct. I don't think.
You could
if you have a family member who owns it, that's considered within your rishos, like a son of Shohan or your wife, yeah. That might be a godly tzad. That would work. Okay, I'm thinking of that one. Ravaron Levine said this is a problem. He didn't think of that one. Cool. Sounds good, though. Yeah, I don't, you have to judge. Is this a smart thing to do? You have to ask your accountant. It comes up later. There's one other
spot. I don't really get how it works. Are they more problematic, less problematic?
No, those are stacks. The same thing for stacks for our purpose.
No, I mean, it's like, I own some Goldman, maybe?
Yeah.
You own some of everything.
You own some of everything. If you own NASDAQ.
You own a total index fund. You own a little. McDonald's,
yes.
Yeah. All the
Shilohs.
Anything that's a problem to own, you have that
Shiloh. Yeah. So
they're
more problematic.
More problematic than what?
And individual stock? Well, it's equally problematic.
If you don't own a Moshe, it's really hard to own stocks. because the most many communities are involved with lots of problems.
I spoke to a rap writer recently, and Rejected. Rejected was like, what is an index fund? And I explained to him the way I think I understand it.
Yeah.
So he's like, so if it's us and own McDonald's, then it's us and own the index fund.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I think he thinks it's us and own McDonald's. So Rabbi Rapp was like, yeah, like Rochette, nobody holds like that.
Remember, Moshe would not, Jesus.
Yeah, he said, like, we hold like, we make it on that, so it's much of it.
Yeah, so
that
you makes, can't.
Of course it should be awesome. But Rabbi Reese was trying, like, say, like, no, even if you don't hold, like, Rav Moshe, you think that owning McDonald's is a problem, but owning an index fund is like,
so
you own, like, none of McDonald's. Like,
it's true, you own none of it, but it's the underlying stacks that the index fund is managing are those same stacks that we're talking about. When you talk about hedge funds and other funds, it gets a lot more complicated because they're the ones that are pegged at the commodity, the price of gold, and ones that are hedge mutual funds that people manage. Definitely, they're buying into the companies, but that's totally not up to you, and they change over time. That's not like you're buying an index, which is established its entire sector or whatever established. Like, S&P 500 also could change, but doesn't change the same way. Yeah, I want to finish.
Yeah.
I want to keep going. There's too many.
I'll ask at the end.
All right. Bottom line, I'm going to take out of this is everything in the financial market that's not like obvious is just silent. The Sabasaw with Yatzah Shar, I saw the Seder Ribis, okay, that he says maybe stocks are always considered Yatzah Shar, even though the price keeps going up and down every single day, because they're always available. You can always buy them. And he said, look at some Shevet Halevi by foreign coin exchange. I will delay that shaila. Someone will talk about that hopefully another chabura. However, basically, it's...
Everything
Yatzah Shar. Everything Yatzah Shar. I think it's... Exactly. I don't...
I'm
going to wait till we do... Yatzah Shar in our simon. Basically, I'm going to delay talking about this. I think that's not the pleasure of chat. Right now, all I know is that the machlokes Rabbi Levine and Seder Haribis patches in my mind is Vade like Rabbi Levine. That's what it sounds like in Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to wait to deal with that when we deal with like Kofai and Vav at the very end of Hilchos Ribis. We talk about Yatzah Shar, the Gabe Psika. That's where in Shulchan Aruch they talk about what's the ISO. What is Yatzah Shar? So I don't know too much about that. It's an interesting shita. Okay. Other parts, margins, which is a Pasha Ribbis, which are, if I have a margin account, the Pasha thing I want to do with margin accounts is I buy stocks on margin. That means I pay 10% or whatever it is, a down payment for the stocks. And then the other 90%, the broker pays for me. So I go to Scottrade and I say, I want to buy 1,000, instead of buying 10 shares of Google, I only have $10,000 in my account, so I can't buy that many. So instead of buying 10, I want to buy 100, and how can I do that? Please lend me the money to do that. Good. So they said, but you need a down payment. So you need 10%, so I can give the down payment. Good. So now that I did that, I'm going to pay Scottrade interest on all the 90, whatever it was worth, this loan I took from it. I borrow money. Yeah.
Right.
And then their maintenance things over time, I have to make sure that it continues to be this down payment of 10%. I have to make sure to pay that. And to pay interest on this, there's katsutsa on the, whatever they decide to charge me. It's absolutely a loan. Mishnah Halacha says it. There's no trailer. That's where this. I don't see any way around that. What was interesting, money market funds, if you have money in any broker, and the money just sitting, it's what usually you'll do, I think a lot of, I don't actually know so many, but I know Scottrade used to say in the Ameritrade, they have money market things. I think it's standard. Money market is, you get pennies on the dollar, but it's similar to a savings account. They'll give you money for leaving your money in the investment account. As it's rolling in from one stock to a different stock, they give you pennies on the dollar, very small amount. So is that just like a savings account, which is actually interesting? Mishnah Halacha says, yeah, it's ribbis. But when I looked into it, I read online, money market funds, or money market that all the investment companies have, are actually just mutual fund. They're a mutual fund mostly invested in U.S. dollar, mostly invested in cash. Like 3% in some other stuff, mostly investing in cash.
What so does that mean,
investing in cash, so it just equates, takes care of inflation. But it's a mutual fund.
What does the word mean? How do you it's invest in cash?
It can mean relative to other currencies.
They in gold or silver?
Not in gold and silver. I don't know. They In whatever the probably like consumer index, whatever it
like
is.
The CPI, like
the, here, whatever you can read on page.
Like a basket of.
Page six, where money market funds, it's actually a mutual fund. It invests in debt security, securities characterized by short maturities, minimal risk, da-da-da.
You're not actually investing in dollars.
No, they're not investing in dollars.
They're
investing in stuff. But it's nearly guaranteed. No, it's actually... Okay. When I use a bank with the savings account, they give me pennies on the dollar with guarantee. That's interest. Money market is actually... Okay, I have money... In Ameritrade for years, for a long time. So a lot of times, some money sits there and doesn't do anything because it's a fraction of money. It's not worth investing in anything. They give me pennies on the dollar. So I thought, oh, that's the same type of thing as I get in my savings account. Mishnah Aruch is the same thing. The Matthias says it's not true. That actually is a mutual fund called money market. It's very fluid. They take money in and out all the time. They pay people hardly anything, but it's a very, very, very little risk. The bottom line, they give it's not even a company. Mutual funds are never companies. They're just people sitting in booths somewhere in downtown or somewhere in Chicago or wherever that manage funds that people give them money. And they say, today my fund is going to invest in X companies. The mutual funds specialize in certain things in growth and small companies, big companies. So this, they specialize in no risk. Anyway. So I think that would be mutter to leave it there because the mutual fund is just like an investment in anything else.
Same,
managed, yeah. It's good.
That's now, here better we than a savings.
Yeah. Fine. All right, here we go for... I don't know if it's financially a good idea or not.
Yeah.
Options.
He's no financial advice. Ike is not taking any blame for anyone's investments.
Options. The options are like this. There is... You know what? I should really do futures before options. Okay, there's no picture for futures. Futures are just very simple. I say, I want you to tell me in the future, in 2 months' time, to give me 10 shares of Google for whatever it's worth. And I'm going to buy it from you at that point for the price of whatever Google is worth. We have to...
We're setting a price today.
We're setting... Yeah, sorry. Good, thank
we're speculating.
You.
We we're think speculating. It's going to go up 1%. So
I think it's going to go up 10%. So I say to Scott, I would like to buy a future today for Google at for $1,100 for next year. And
you're paying the higher price now.
Yeah, I'm going to pay the higher price now, and he is going to give me in 10. Now comes a year later, and Google's actually worth $1,500. So then. I pay the $1,100, and then I get my 10 shares. Now, when
you pay a little bit less than what you actually
put. We don't care about the actual price. Whatever it's
coming out. We don't care the actual.
You pay a little bit less than the actual future price that you think
it's. Yes, correct. The values of futures. Correct. The values of futures do incorporate
risk. We both think it's going to be worth $1,100 in 6 months.
Yes, everybody takes into account the ribbons into the price of this future. Yes.
Well, I'm not going to pay. No, we're not going to agree to pay $1,100 right now.
No. Wait, if you take yes, as actuaries, yeah, they do. They it, built into the price of the future is interest.
They're like $10.95.
$10.95 because they say what would interest rate be for net $10.95? That would be the equivalent of $1,100 in that time. Yeah, in a Hanami. Okay, the thing is with margin accounts that people that do this don't actually pay for the future the full price up at front. They pay a down payment on that, and they don't even pay interest on everything in between. So what the essence is happening is, and this is the way the secular markets, no, you're not buying it now. The second,
wait, it's like post-call papers.
No,
like
it's not. Fine. So the one way to look at it is post-call papers.
Who owns the stock? Who gets the dividends in the next year?
I don't get them. He does.
The owner of the stock. Not the buyer.
In all secular laws, fine. So let's say, if it was post-secal peros, the simple words sound like it's post-secal peros. I'm saying in the beginning that I'm going to buy shares from you and you're promising to give it to me. And I'm paying a lower price now and you're going to give me something whenever it would happen later. So post-secal peros, again, it's only going to be much more as law. This Yeshla will be, it is legal to have Yeshla in this. People don't always do that. It certainly doesn't make so much sense, but it could do it.
You need to be
Yeshla. You need the full Yeshla, but the broker will need it. You could definitely do it. It definitely is possible. Brokers usually have lots of, whatever. It's possible to have Yeshla. And Yasa Shari you probably don't have. Fine. However, the Sefer Ribbis B'Tachnis certain Sefer on this pointed out from a different Sefer, Mishpat Shalom, there's no Ribbis here at all. The Metzias is not to say this is really like Psika. Pashas is not Psika. Pashas is, the way to look at it is not a Psika, is to look at it as though I'm buying it later. And really what's happening is we just made an agreement. We just both promised to each other, we signed on a dotted line, that come a year time, I will buy it from you, and you will sell it to me for $1,100. Irrelevant what it actually is. And if it's $800, I also have to buy it for $1,100. If it's $1,500, I'm allowed to buy for $1,100. And he's agreeing to do that. And Haraya, that this is not a loan, is there's no interest. I buy the shares.
Do you give me money today?
Just as a down payment. I give you a down payment now. I give you money now as a down payment. And you don't. I don't pay interest.
What are we posting up here? Let's say I agree that I'm going to buy food for you in a year for $20 today, but I'll pay you in a month, or I'll pay you in a year. But we agree.
The posting up here is of the Gemara or Shachanar is you pay now.
Correct.
And I'm posting and giving the food.
Why do you have to pay now? Why do you have to pay now?
If you pay later, there's no previous at all. It doesn't look like a havana.
In the future, things you are paying some dollars in the beginning. If you paid all of it at the end, well then. I think his aura is great. This is not ribbis because you're just making agreements to pay later. His point is, even though you're paying now, that money you're paying now is not actual buying money. That money is not even a loan. Is you're just making a down payment so they trust that he's going to do it later.
And there's no ribbis question at all.
His rise for that are you don't own the stock, you're not getting dividends from it, and he doesn't charge interest, and you don't get interest from having that down payment, nor does he, you have to pay interest to him for the rest of the funds. What do you say?
You don't own the stock yet.
I don't own the stock. I don't own the stock now. Yeah, but why don't I pay interest?
You don't pay interest and you don't get interest. You're not supposed to pay interest and get interest. But
the Goyim always charge interest for everything else. Margins and short selling, they charge interest.
Because the Goyim don't...
That's just a riot.
The way this is formulated is...
People who charge interest don't charge interest.
Really, the way the future is set up is...
Why are you paying anything today? I don't want to pay anything today. I'd rather keep my money.
Because they don't trust they're going to have, you're going to suck out all your money at the end and never go through with this and not buy the thing. So why the guy, I don't want to get involved with guys who are going to back out.
You see that it's worth $900.
And then I'm going to suck out my money out of my account. And then it's a car of the scar. I can only win. So that the brokers don't want me to only win. So they say, that's not fair.
You better. I don't understand that there's this some secret.
This is not an option. Options is, they allow me to go in and out. Future is, I have to do this. If it goes to 900, I have to do it. So if I suck out all my money out of my account, the brokers, they're not going to make any money out of this. And they want to make money. So they make me a deposit.
You're paying a down payment.
So they trust that I don't run away.
What is posting up here? So I gave you the money, and you're going to give me the week, and I'll be
yeah. That's buying it.
Because there's a Misha Par.
So
you're saying there's no Misha Par in here.
There's no Misha Par at all.
But there it's.
Sorry, it's taking so long.
You like this job? I don't get it.
I like the Raya from the Goyim. I like that Raya that you're not paying interest. It's not considered you bought it yet. You didn't buy it, you just promised to do something. And he didn't.
They're not paying interest, but it's built into these prices, no?
No. They're not built into the amount of the deposit is when you have margin accounts, 10% of whatever whatever you say you're going to pay at the end. Because those accounts trust that you're going to have money, you're going to be able to pay. That's the difference. That's why they do it.
The futures.
It's not actually tied.
Really, what futures? Okay, I'm getting it. Maybe a futures. What it really is like I'm buying. You're agreeing to sell me this in a month or in a year at that price, and on that day we're going to buy it.
Yes.
But we're not. I'm not paying you now for it.
And he just doesn't want me to run
if
away.
If I put any money down now, it's not because I'm buying it now. No. We buy it then. Okay.
I don't think it's push it.
That is how the guy looked at it then.
Yeah. All right. The last thing is options. What are options? Just same top with this future, except you have two things. You have an ability to buy it or deciding backing out you're not buying it. Now you have to pay a premium for that in the beginning to do this because you're not gonna. If it goes down, I'm not gonna end up doing it. I'm not gonna end up fulfilling my end of the deal. I'm not gonna end up buying those stocks. So you're gonna be stuck with it with the other stocks. So I have to pay you whatever it is, $10 per option. Every option is to buy one share. The call options are to acquire stuff, put options are to sell stuff. I'm on the long side of the call option, is I'm going to buy your stock, so I have to pay you a premium, $10 a share.
Please give a real example of this.
Okay, I say this, Scott. I want to buy a share of Google in a year from now with an option, a call option. It says, a year from now, I could buy it for the price that I set, $1,100, or I could decide I don't want to end up buying it. If it goes down, I won't buy it. I'll be fully honest.
If it goes up to $2,000,
I will buy it.
Make a ton.
Good. So now, Scott says, great, I'll do this with you. But you have to pay me something. How much? So we go, we speculate forever until we figure out how much this opportunity to give me that promise.
Pay a down payment plus a premium?
No, I don't pay a down payment on this. There's just a premium. There's no down payment. The premium does not reflect how much the stocks are actually worth.
Before the premium, Ike is either going to break even, he's not going to buy it at all, or if it goes up, Ike's going to make money.
Who's Ike the buyer?
This is much more like similar to a gamble. This is saying, yeah. I paid him $10 for a gamble. The odds are low. The odds are that he's going to either... The Google stock is going to be at 1,100 exact.
Why is this different than a future where a guy doesn't just come through? The guy backs out.
He doesn't have to buy it.
I don't actually have to
buy
it.
You don't get to back out of a future. You don't get to back out.
You cannot back out.
That's illegal?
Illegal.
You committed.
Illegal, and I'm sure they'd have a way to come in. Even if you had less money in the account, they'd be able to come
in. It wasn't like you're making a down, you're paying money down because we're worried you're going to back out. It's...
Okay,
so make sure you don't run away.
After the ability to back out.
When you have margin accounts, that means you also have credit with a certain place. Good. They don't let people have margin accounts without a certain level of credit. It's also like they would come after you if someone went back on a certain contract like that.
Good. The other option was the put.
The put is to sell. I say, I want to sell a stock of Google a year from now at whatever.
The other side of the deal.
At a certain amount. I'm just the other side of the deal. It's an individual to a broker. But, you know, basically, the other side of a deal. No, it's not the other side of a deal. It's there's four types of deals. The deal here, there's a person who has the option, who has the choice. The other guy doesn't know choices. He has to follow my word. The Scott trade is going to, I say, I either want to buy it, he's going to give it to me, or I don't want to buy it, and he has to follow whatever I'm deciding. On the put side, it's, I tell him, I want to sell. The reason people do this is like this. I have Google stocks right now. And they made a lot of money. I bought them at 1,000, now they're up to 1,500 already. And I know that they can go up a little bit more. I'm not sure. And I don't want to sell them right now because of taxes or whatever. I don't want to sell them right now. I think they can go up more. So what I do, I say, I want to get a put option on them to sell them at 1,600. I'm capping my revenue at 1,600. If it's going to go... Oh, sorry. It's... the other way around. 1,400. 1,400. I don't want to lose more than that. So I say in a year from now, even if they're going to be worth $800, Scott, I'm allowed to sell it to you for
$2,000. I just won't sell.
Great. If it keeps going up, I've made sure I will make no less than $400 a share.
Good.
And now I have to pay a premium for that. He's not going to take that for free. We speculate in however much we think how likely this is. If it's very likely. That I'm going to make money in this. He's going to charge me a lot, very high premium. And if it's very unlikely, he's going to charge me very low premium. However, and interest is included.
Yeah.
That's mamish. A lot of actuary in the Wall Street work on these things. How do you figure out this? How do you figure out how much these things are worth? That's why actuaries don't just do insurance. Isn't that motor to buy one of these from a Jewish investment company? You can buy from individuals, but usually it's going through a broker. The broker is either just the sarsor, and or he's happy to do it. Because basically, a lot of times, what they can hedge all of their risk using options. Anytime, they get a lot of people buying futures from them, so they go ahead, and then they sell futures to somebody else. They put it out on the market, someone to buy this. Or they make an option to somebody else. They can hedge their bets, one to, you know, take care of themselves. So... The Okay, so the Torah's ribbis. Yeah. So what do you say? What do we think?
Just,
what do we think
about ribbis? It's the same as futures. You're not buying a tome.
So giving you futures are problems, and they should be problems if they're good. And we've talked before.
This is better than. There's no way this is supposed to go up here. So you're not paying. You're not buying it now. You're not putting down the money to buy it.
You just.
You have an option to buy it later. You're not even. There's no Mishapara. That's for sure. Yeah. The only history of posting up here is because there was a Mishapara of.
Right. It's even harder to argue, but the argument to ask for this would be, this is my wish, like Psika, and sometimes it's not going to be Yishlam, sometimes it's not going to be Yad Zashar. Why is it Psika? Because I'm asking you, paying something now, it's just so you'll make sure to give me something later. This, I saw most post-game were totally fine with it. Torah's Ribbis, Takana's Ribbis, Seder Ribbis, those three Svarim, all said it was Mutter. They said, because you're just buying you're buying the opportunity that someone will later give you something. You're not actually buying anything now. You're buying a piece of paper that the guy promised to do something with this. They bring one Raya and Shulchan Aruch, which is a Pella, but... Oh. So
yeah,
Smarta is very much a good question. It's kind of service, Sefer writes, he thinks it's national. That's a good question. It should be very much like similar as Smarta. Well, the answer he gives is, because you do a Kinyan Situmta.
Right, you're doing
we're doing Kinyans on this. We're doing the acceptable way in the Goyish world, and since that's accepted as Dina Machusa or whatever, as Situmta at least, that's not a Smarta.
Going to the casino is also not a Smarta, you know?
That's gambling. Okay. Passion. I had one other thing to say.
Another question about futures?
One second. I just remember.
Okay, he's got it.
Very good. There you go. Go ahead.
Let's say I'm buying a future for you. The stock's at $1,000 now. Yeah. We're making a commitment that in a year from now I'm going to buy it at $1,100. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, come a year from now, the stock's worth $1,500. I still buy it at $1,100 because that was the deal, right? But at that point, isn't it like Onah? You're saying the kingdom's happening then. This is when the purchase is happening.
Yeah, so but it's Onah, but it's cheating, but he knows about it. And there's no anything that's Mida, Mishka, three things, I forget what it is. Anything that's very clearly defined, that everybody else is charging this and I'm charging more, that's not enough. You know that you're getting ripped off, and you still decide to do it. You made a kingdom to me that you would do that.
And it's for sure Asmacha.
It's for sure problems in the world of Asmacha for the Rambam or Kinyan Al-Tanai. For sure these are issues, but if you say that these are like Kinyan Sittumtas and I get you out of Asmachas, then great. If not, then this is a big problem for Sephardim. Or Ashkenazim too. No, there you're buying and selling items. And you're just borrowing an item to return them. That's just a loan. The reason they call this a smalta is because nothing's happening now.
Stocks.
Yeah, I'm borrowing stocks from you. I'm going to buy stocks and return
so
things. That's the same thing with Sabasa.
Okay, so then I guess I have the same question on Sabasa. Why it's not a smalta? If it goes up, then I'm agreeing to pay
you more.
Right,
so why is not a smalta? Because I never agreed to do this.
I didn't expect it to go up. That's why I'm doing
the short selling. So we have to figure that out. But for the Rambam, you'll say whenever the pshat is, you get a kinyan, whatever. And for the Rashi, you'll say it's not a guzma, or you put down money in the beginning. So that's not. I don't know. Good question. The last thing I just brought is the Shulchan Aruch and Kopai and Gimel. It's interesting if I have money on the ship. I have $100 on the ship, or $100 million on the ship, and I have no liquid cash available to me right now. And I say, but I want money from you. So I could say, I want $20 from you, and when my ship comes in, I'll give you $100. I'm allowed to do that. I need $20 I need $2 to buy a soda. Can I borrow $2 from you now and give you $20 when I get when the ship comes in? And I have my $1 million, they come in. So Shonar says that's mutter. I thought this is not a shribis. He said, no, because that's just a promise to. You're making a kinyan now to do $2 for $10, whatever it is, and you're promising to supply it later. That's what's in Shulchan Aruch from the Rivash, that the kinyan's now, and it's not even similar to Sabasa, it's just a promise to do something later. So that's what maybe is similar to options. We'll do that when we get there.
It's also similar to, like everything. Why doesn't everything
Yeah. It's only because you have it yeshlam. That's for sure. But it's a little bit better than yeshlam. But yes, because you. But yeah, it's a chiddush. I have to see that inside. That the last sif in Kavayin Gimel. It's hard to explain. I don't know. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I don't really have it at all. Mitzvah Shem will figure it out.